closer.
You are listening to the La Tavola Marque Radio Network.
Hello, good day, and thank you so much for joining us on our little podcast from Italy. Happy spring, finally.
Oh, I wish we had turned the mic on to four channels so people could hear the birds chirping. It's lovely out today.
It is. Today is the 8th of April, a beautiful sunny morning, thank goodness.
Oh, it feels so good.
The high pressure is in. There's not a cloud in the sky, and it is forecasted to be that way for the next couple of weeks. Oh, sorry. Good. Hello. My name is Jason, and this is my wife, Ashley.
Ciao. We have to reset.
We do have to reset. This is the podcast from Italy.
The inconsistent yet consistently consistent.
It seems like it's a Monday podcast. Last three Mondays, anyway.
Has it really?
Today's Monday.
Oh, well, we shall see if we continue that pattern.
Very, well, we've had an exciting week. We've had guests this week coming in and out, and we went to a...
Agra Umbria.
We looked at a bunch of really cool tractors and equipment for all things agricultural that I will never be able to afford to own.
It reminded me of going to... Remember in New York, we'd go to the Jacob Javits Center and go to like the fancy car show or whatever, mm-hmm. the concept car show.
Yeah.
It made me think of that, going to see all the tractors and the regular ones that you would actually use on a small-scale farm like ours, or like
giant
the big daddies.
Like huge ones.
Where you're just like, what the hell is that for? It was incredible.
It was incredible. We saw 50 different types of chickens.
I didn't even know that many existed, to be honest. Now I know when people ask us, what type of chicken do you have?
It's not just chicken.
I always was like, I don't know, brown chicken. They like brown eggs, brown chickens, whatever they give me from the hardware store. But now I understand, because... there was ones with pom-pom heads. There was ones with feathers on their feet.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't even know that English chickens meant they were weirdly skinny, long legs.
They did have weird, skinny, long legs. Well, reset. It was in, what was the name of the town in Umbria, outside of Perugia?
Bastia Umbria,
which is
about 20 minutes outside of Assisi.
Yeah, and it was about an hour and 20 minutes from our house. So we woke up early yesterday morning and got out of the house by 7, and we were there at 8:30, and we were one of the first ones in, which is good.
One of the first ones, however, was already pretty packed.
It was pretty packed, and it was good because we were meeting some friends for lunch.
But wait, sorry to interrupt. The parking situation was out of control as well.
It's always out of control. It's Italy.
People were parking not only along the side of the street, but in the middle of the roundabouts. I thought that's pretty damn ballsy. And it was full, just straight on grass. I don't know.
Sometimes this is Italy. You park wherever you want to park.
Wherever your car can fit.
Yes. But there were loads of people there, and it was fun. I love walking around those kind of expositions where there's tons of stuff. We talked to a guy about a drip water system that I will never get. And we talked and what else? I saw that my zero-turn lawnmower that I want.
How much was that?
I don't even know. There was no price on it. That thing looked really expensive.
We saw, again, the cheese grater that I want.
I know. And
$220.
We should have bought it.
I know.
Ashley wants this professional cheese grater because she loathes grating cheese.
Grating chocolate is worse because it melts in your fingers. But we grate so much freaking cheese by hand that my arm starts getting tired.
Well, maybe
those hunks of Parmesan.
maybe for your birthday this year.
Oh, I thought I was getting an iron.
quickly tell the iron story.
I hate ironing so much. So much so that like I normally wouldn't buy clothes that need to be ironed. And especially out here, it's awesome. You line dry your clothes. Who cares? We're out in the country. And Jason sometimes wants his button-down shirts ironed and things like that. Well, we have a kind of shitty iron that you have to push really hard, and it doesn't work that well. And we started working with a cleaning lady, and
Claudia.
She was just disgusted by it and offered to bring her own. And I joked, and I said, oh, you don't like mine? But sarcasm doesn't really translate well. And she goes, oh, no, and tried to, like, backpedal. And Jason and I just burst out because she was saying how ours is just a POS. And it is. So she felt like strong enough that she brought her own
grade. If you're gonna make me do, if I have to do some ironing, I need a real tool.
Exactly. But we're not here to talk about irons.
No, we're not. But so the agri market saw tons of chickens, but
cool cows.
There wasn't a lot. I was there looking for, like biological things for to control flies. And
I wanted to see like cool handmade tools.
Yeah, I was looking for a lot more hand tools, and there wasn't a lot of that kind of stuff there.
The seeds were the regular ones you would find at pretty much any
hardware
store or
kind of
store.
Specialty seeds or specialty plant people. A lot of machinery and cows.
Yeah, but we got a cool water feeder for the chickens.
Yeah, we got a water feeder for the chickens, so that's a score right there. And we had a wonderful day. We had a wonderful morning in Umbria.
It was a gorgeous day. And we went to a casa nobile, a noble house, which was really cool to walk around. And I love going in houses in Italy. It's your imagination starts running wild. It was from the 17th century.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa, it was cool. Well, anyway, this podcast... is there anything else you wanted to add that
we've
been up to?
I have a... Someone needs to ask me a question. Hit pause.
Oh, okay. I don't know how to do that.
Excuse me. Okay, sorry. We got distracted. We have...
I was just going to say, you have to say what's
going on. Yeah,
we
have a family with a 14-year-old girl and a 16-year-old boy, and they wanted to be put to work. Like, they kept asking me, so it was like... You've got it.
Done.
So I have the 14-year-old girl scooping the poop out of the chicken coop from that, you know, I have to, when you're getting ready to get the chickens again, you take like the first layer of dirt off and you
Yeah, it's not
down.
Like there's like a ton of poop in
no,
there.
It's
just
mud.
Like, yeah, the mud.
The mud. And I have the 16-year-old boy. He's into
Knives,
cutlery. And I have him sharpening every knife I have.
He does it as a side job.
Yeah, he does it as a side job.
Normally, Jason doesn't let anyone do that.
No, but it's like, oh, you do this? Great. Here's 18 knives. Go for it.
Well, and actually, this is a great segue because today is our first pizza class of the season. So, what, did I over-modulate?
No, you did it Oprah style.
Oh, I thought I was singing style. So we're doing our first pizza class of the season today with this family on this glorious day. And we thought we'd answer some questions and do a Pizza 101 podcast. John from Seattle sent us a bunch of questions. Long-time listener, first-time caller. Loved that. And I thought we would go through the questions one by one and have Jason kind of walk us through the whole pizza process. Are you down?
Let's do it.
Okay. I wanted to know more about your wood-fired pizza oven. I've seen your videos, but I wondered if Jason could expand on the techniques he uses. Did you build the oven or did it come with the place?
Oven was here long before we were.
And I'll expand on this question. What kind of work have you done to the oven?
Once a year, I have to refill the seams where the pieces of stone meet. So like it's not a crack, but the...
Yeah, the seams.
The seams with a special cement that that can withstand the heat because every year it seems to fall out. If I don't do that, then the heat will escape through those seams.
Okay. Moving right along.
The first couple of times you light the fire in the spring, you have to light small fires. One or two, couple is better. Small fires a few days before to kind of get the wet off the stone and preheat the stone. You can't just go in and might light a big giant fire first time after the winter. It will crack the stone.
That's a really good tip. We've had some masons out and they've really gone to town talking to you about all this too.
Yeah, that's you will break your oven right away if you don't light. Preheated kind of the first time. Once the summer comes, you know, once you use it on a regular basis and the stone is kind of up to temperature and working, you don't have to do that anymore.
What even would you suggest doing that if the first time you're going to light it is in August?
The first time you're going to light it? Yeah, definitely.
So still, just all...
Yeah, even if it's the summertime and you haven't used, you know, you used it in June and you're going to use it again in August, then night before, light a small fire in there. It just kind of preheats the stone. It gets the moisture, humidity out of the stone most of all, and it'll just...
It's a nice prep.
It's a prep, and if you crack this, that's it. So it's worth doing.
Well, this next question goes right to that. What is the ideal temperature for the oven?
Shoot, well, I don't know.
First of all, it's going to depend on what you're making, but let's go with pizza since this is Pizza 101.
Hot. I don't have a thermometer. I just stick my arm in there. If I can hold it for like a two count, then it's ready. If it's...
So, but let's, come on. You know your visual indicators.
Well,
you don't use a thermometer.
No.
And there are those guns, right?
Yeah, you can get infrared thermometers. Those are expensive, but that's cool.
So how do you know your oven's ready?
I stick my arm in
oven. No, but like knowing the color of the stone changes.
Oh. So you mean ready to start baking? Oh, okay. So you light the fire in the middle to the rear of your oven. The roof of the oven will turn black at first. As the oven heats up and the temperature gets higher, that carbon will burn off.
And you keep your door closed or?
Open.
Okay.
Open. Totally open. And once the carbon burns off and the entire roof of the oven turns white hot, you're ready to go. You take your ash and you push it to the side. You keep a piece or two of wood going so it keeps the temperature of your oven up. You sweep it out and you're ready to go.
Yeah. This is not making pizza. Do not do this in flip-flops.
No. You have to eventually sweep some of it out.
Mm-hmm. So now that we have our oven prepped, let's talk dough.
Okay.
Give me, here's the question. I've always heard about this magical 00 flour available in Italy. Do you use it for the pizza crust and does it make a difference?
I use type 0 flour.
Break it down. So 00 versus 0.
It depends. Some of the ladies I've seen use 0 for flour, for pasta. Some of them only use 00. Some of them say it doesn't matter. Here's what I do. I find 00 to be finer and not have as much gluten in it. So I think of 00 as cake flour. So I use 00 for pastry. I use 00 for doughs sometimes. It depends what type of dough.
So you use 0 for...
I use 0 because I make bread now. So I have bulk 0 on hand. So I use type 0 flour.
And that's what was recommended?
That was what was recommended to me for pizza.
On a side note, tell them the funny story about the Molino in Sant'Angelo.
Oh, so I've told this story before, but I went to the mill in Sant'Angelo and I was asking the lady there, what's the difference between 0 and 00? And she was telling me and she looks around and says, but... we put the same flour in both bags. So there you go.
Sorry, I just love that story.
Yeah, like we put the it's the same flour.
But speaking
bags.
Of flour, you use 2 flours.
I use 2, but you're not answering the question.
Oh, sorry.
What's the magical type 0s and type 00? Honestly, if you can only find all-purpose flour, as long as it's a high quality, I think it'd be better to get a high quality type 0 all-purpose flour than to try to source Italian type 0 or 00 that God knows how old it is or where it's coming from, or cost you $7 a bag. I mean, if it's cost you an arm and a leg for a bag of flour, just get the best all-purpose flour you can find in your area. I think that's more important.
So. And then the second question of, do you use it for your pizza crust? You use the 0 and you use the other.
Yeah, I use 2 flours. Ashley will post the recipe for the pizza dough.
Yeah.
But I use milk in the dough and I use beer instead of sugar. I find the milk makes it soft and the beer gives the yeast the sugar it needs, but doesn't. It has more flavor to it. And you can play with the types of beer you use if you want to make a real, nutty kind of weedy, hoppy taste, add a darker beer. Or if you just want it to have a neutral taste, I use
Moretti.
Yeah, Moretti. I use Moretti because it's like, I just find it's just something to, instead of sugar, which just, it has no taste. The beer gives it a little something.
It's really good. Oh, but did you say Farina di America?
Oh, sorry. Yes. I use milk. I use the milk, the beer, and 2 types of flour. I use, type 0 Italian flour, and I use a high gluten or bread flour that they call Farina di America here. It's
or
the name brand.
Manitoba?
It's called Manitoba, is the type of wheat. But just to eat bread flour, that's all that matters.
So, do you have any special secrets for stretching a pizza crust?
Shoot.
Well, actually, we'll answer that question, but I think you should almost go step by step. You make your dough. Before we answer his question about stretching, let's take it from you've made your dough, you punch it twice.
I punch it. I let it rise again. I make it into balls. I let it rest and come back up. And then
how long? It depends, depends on the day.
It depends on the day, and it depends on the amount of dough. Obviously, if I'm doing a pizza night and it's 7-8 recipes, it takes longer than if you're making one recipe.
Same with if it's a rainy
warm
day.
Yeah, it's going to depend. It's going to be hard. It's not something you can explain by talking. The whole thing is, if you start round, you'll finish round. So you want to... This is for making the balls. You have to start with nice round dough balls, because if you start with wonky ones, it's going to be hard. It's going to be harder to have a round pizza at the end. First, what I do is I make the crust with my fingers. You'll have a big mound of dough in the middle. With your fingers, you push that mound of dough out. I use a rolling pin one or two times to make a flat disc, and then I stretch it with my hands. I stretch the perimeter of the dough with my knuckles, not the center. I let the dough falls over my hands, and I let gravity stretch the center, and I stretch the rim.
What are you using, flour or semolina?
I use semola. I like the semolina because it doesn't impart itself into the dough. It kind of stays superficially, and it acts like little ball bearings.
But I've noticed when we go shopping for the semolina, I don't know if this is just here in Italy, but there's like three different types.
There's semola and semolina.
And isn't it like semola, harder? Like
semola is bigger, and semolina is a finer grind.
Oh, okay. That makes sense then. Yes, so you're stretching secrets for pizza crust.
And it's just practice. And we should do a video on stretching pizza.
I was thinking that too. I'll have to.
Now, everyone has a different technique to do it. When we were in Napoli, the guy would take 6 or 8 dough balls and pre-stretch them all together by just dumping tons of flour in between the dough balls. Some people use the rolling pin the whole time. I do the rolling pin for 1 or 2 passes because it just helps. It's faster. And when I do pizza night and I have to do, 30, 40 pizzas, I can just bang it out. If I save 20 seconds of pizza, it makes a difference at the end. So that's why I use the rolling pin. And for the cooking classes, it's easier to teach. If you start out with that nice even disc after you initially make the crust and get the lump of dough out with your fingers, that nice disc is much easier to stretch out.
And my question, not John's, but your thoughts on spinning the dough, on tossing it?
Oh, totally for show.
I mean, it's got to help stretch it a little bit, but no. It's really for show, isn't it?
It's totally for show. I mean, I guess it does, but it's...
But here, what are your tips if you were going to try to toss?
Like tips to try to toss?
To use your knuckles.
Yeah, that's for stretching it as...
I know, but I just mean like if you're going to try to do it. Some people want to try.
Yeah, don't try to catch it with your fingers. Try to catch it with your, like a boxer, with your fists. Because your finger will go right through.
Exactly. All right. So now that you've got the dough made, your fire started. Oh, was there another part to that? Oh, okay.
Sauce?
Yeah, the sauce. Exactly. That's the next question. John's question is, do you make your sauce from canned or fresh tomatoes? Is it pretty much just tomatoes, or do you doctor it up with any other ingredients?
I make my my sauce from our jarred tomatoes. And it's just past tomatoes. I put in some olive oil, some salt, chili flakes, herbs, whatever I got, oregano, basil, whatever's floating around, and a little bit of garlic.
You do like grated garlic?
I do. I microplane the garlic really, really fine. And not a lot. It should not taste garlicky. Mm-mm. It's just a little. And it's an uncooked sauce. So the pizza, it's so hot in the oven that the sauce will cook directly on the pizza. So I don't have to boil the sauce or simmer the sauce at all. Also, during... in the height of tomato season, I'll use fresh tomatoes. Absolutely, it's just their availability, and when the quality is there. Because if I go to buy fresh tomatoes today in early April, they're terrible.
Oh yeah, our jarred tomatoes are awesome.
Yeah, our jarred tomatoes are 1,000 times better.
Any do's or don'ts you can share?
Any do's or don'ts? Pizza's do's and don'ts.
I know one. Less is more.
Oh, yeah, there you go. That's a good one. Less is more on the pizzas. The more crap you put on the top of it, the harder it is to get your crust to get nice and crispy. So less is more. 1 or 1.5 spoonfuls of sauce on the pizza, nice, extended out nice. It doesn't have to be covered with cheese. You can have red peeking through. If you're going to put on toppings, put on one or two toppings. Don't put five things on there. And just a little bit of it. The heavier, this is a very thin piece. It's thin. It's delicate. It cooks very quickly. The more stuff you put on, the more water that will be on there. You'll have a big pool of water in the middle of your pizza. Your bottom crust won't get crunchy because it's too much humidity on top of the dough. It'll stick to the board when you're trying to get it off. All problems of over-topping.
And let's talk cheese real quick.
I use fresh mozzarella with our guests. Just
mozzarella.
Mozzarella. Fresh mozzarella because they don't get to see it all the time. But
and you slice it.
I slice it very, and drain very thinly it. And leave it in a colander to drain. Again, water is the enemy of pizzas. If you're going to do mushrooms, saute the mushrooms real quick. Get their water out. Put them in a colander and let them drain out. Same thing with olives and things.
Another
like
tip, you mentioned before the semola on the table that you're rolling your dough. But it also serves as what you like to say, ball bearings for...
I already talked about that.
For...
I talked about that.
Oh, for using the peel?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Sorry. What about some of your favorite toppings or types?
We do a pizza. We do a potato and ricotta and rosemary pizza that I really like. I take a potato peeler and I do very thin pieces of the potato and lay that on first. Then it's a nice drizzle of olive oil, salt, pepper, some rosemary, and then dollops of ricotta cheese. And that's a pizza bianca.
Oh, my
pizza,
God. It's my really favorite. It is so good.
I also take onions and chop them up real fine and put them under salt and then wash them and drain them and throw some chili flakes and some rosemary into that. And you do a onion pizza. You just lay that on the pizza with a little drizzle of olive oil on the top right on into the oven.
Again, awesome.
Outstanding.
Awesome. And chiclista?
Yeah, you could do a chiclista, which is just the dough, and then you with a little drizzle of olive oil and maybe a crack of salt, and then you lay a couple of slices of prosciutto after it comes out, and the prosciutto kind of melts into the pizza.
Oh, I thought chiclista was plain.
I mean, you can get it plain, but most people get it with prosciutto
on it. Oh, a piece of prosciutto on it.
Or prosciutto cotto.
I can see why. anything else you can think of to add about the pizza?
Practice. And if you're going to do it in your oven at home, get yourself a stone. And remember, when you open up that oven a lot, you let all the heat out. So crank up your oven as hot as it'll go. And don't keep opening up the oven to peek. Just let it do its thing in there.
I think that was really good.
Yep. And the sky's the limit. I mean, whatever you want to put on top of it.
My family wanted to put pesto on it.
They wanted to put pesto on it. It was like, all right, we have a bunch of Italians here. Enough with the pesto pizzas.
And they're going to freak out, but they liked it. They said, we've never seen pesto on pizza.
Now you have.
A good Napolitano.
Yeah, to me... cheese and a couple of pieces of basil when it comes out is awesome.
I am a huge fan of sausage and mushroom.
Ashley likes the sausage and mushroom. Sausage and onion is good too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Of course.
Clean out your fridge. Use the bits of the pepperonata or whatever.
And of course, this is only fun to do in bulk. So it's not fun to make pizza for 2-3 people. You invite all your friends over and you, even if you do them one at a time, it doesn't matter. Everyone will hang out in the kitchen and just eat them as they come out.
Mm-hmm.
It's shocking how much pizza people can eat.
We like food.
Very good. So yeah, it's starting. I have not done I've not put the cement into the seams of the oven yet.
So how do you think these pizzas are going to come out?
It'll be fine.
It'll just take longer. Oh, that was going to be my other question. When it's like really going and cooking that pizza oven and like during our pizza nights when we're shoving those pizzas in and out, let's talk about how long does it take to cook?
At the beginning it'll take like 60 seconds and then towards the end it'll take like 90 seconds. I usually turn them twice. So I cook a third of the pizza at a time. It's the part closest to the fire is the one that's going to brown the quickest. So you put it in, you wait till the leading edge of the pizza closest to the fire gets nice and golden. You go give it a third turn. It does it again, and then you brown up the last part. And if you if the bottom isn't crispy enough when the last third of the crust is done, I move it to the back of the oven and just kind of let it sit there. It could sit there for another 20-30 seconds.
And then you start to notice when well, halfway through a pizza night or so, but that doesn't give anyone a clear indication. But that the oven starts losing heat.
Well, I'm
on the
doing
bottom.
So many pizzas so quickly.
Oh, that's
that
true.
It's
no one's doing like 30 pizzas in 20 minutes.
I'm doing 40 or 50 pizzas in like 30 or 40 minutes. So when I'm throwing them in there like that, the oven doesn't have it. My oven's not big enough, so mm-hmm. it doesn't have enough time to.
Okay.
Come back up, you know, the floor of the oven, that's where I have the most problem, is I take all the heat out of the floor because I'm constantly throwing pizzas in mm-hmm. there, and it takes away the heat without letting the fire warm that oven back up. But I doubt anyone's gonna have that problem.
Mm-hmm. You're right, I didn't think about that. Unless you're opening a pizzeria.
Yes.
Well, we can always, if you guys have any other questions about it, let us know, or we can do another podcast about using the wood-burning oven for other recipes and ways to use it for breads and meats and things like that.
Oh, absolutely.
Time.
The oven's great once you get it going. So, for instance, if you make pizza this afternoon, tonight you could do a roast in there. And then after the, you know, and then you could do baked bread in there. And then if you wanted to, at, you know, before you went to bed tonight, you could take a potted meat in wine and pile the coals up around it, and now you have dinner for the next night. So
it's awesome.
It'll be like a braise, like take a leg of lamb and red wine in a big heavy cast iron pot and throw it in the pizza oven at the, you know, after it's, you know, cooled down a little bit, and pile the ashes around it, and you'll have, leave it there overnight, you have braised meat the next morning.
It's so good.
You can use, yeah, the outdoor oven is great. If you are interested in doing one yourself, you can buy kits that will, they'll bring it to your house on a pallet, and they drop it off in front, and then you assemble the kit, and then you get a mason to build a facade, like brick or stone or whatever, around this shell. And there's people that do it. You can go online and find tons of information about wood-burning ovens and how to use them, how to care for them, how to build them, and you can do it for probably less than you think.
I think it's a cool thing to do. If you live in a fair climate part of the world, and you have some nice days to be outside, it's fun.
It's really cool to have, and you'll use it way more than you, you
mm-hmm.
use
once
it, more
you got
than,
it.
Once you got it, you'll use it a lot more than you think you will. Not just for pizza,
no,
and not at all. I've done suckling pigs in it. I've done turkeys in it. I've done
potatoes.
I've done
paposa.
Yeah,
the
meat,
the lamb,
the bread. You can do.
Oh yeah, all the breads and challah.
In a regular oven, you can do it. In a wood-burning oven, you just have to learn how to do it, learn how to control it.
Well, right on. So thank you, John from Seattle. And those were great questions. I think that Jason did a good job of answering them.
Well, thank you so much, Ashley.
You're welcome.
I'll pat myself on the back.
You should. And it's almost time to go actually start your dough for the class, isn't it?
Yeah, it's straight up 10 o'clock. I got to start the dough right
It's time
now.
To go. Well, this was, I don't know, short but sweet.
Yeah. What are you up to? Let's see what's going on in this upcoming week.
Whew. Well, hopefully with this nice weather we can do some more outside projects and trim the hedges. You and Gaji were already pulling back a bunch of the brambling kind of,
yeah, with all the water we've had, and now that the sun is starting to come out, we are,
oh my
going
god,
to
it's
have
explode
a the grass and the weeds are gonna go crazy.
Oh yeah,
I have allergy season to look forward to.
Oh no, I have it to look forward to, and your god awful noises you make. Don't,
as I tickle my throat. Yeah, the allergy season is coming. I've got my Reactine, which is the Claritin of Italy.
What's the like pollen or the white bits that fly in the air? Remember?
Oh, that's more in the late summer. It's some tree.
I thought that was like in June. I think it's like June. Yeah, that's when you get really bad. When it's like stuck on the car and it almost looks like it's snowing.
Yeah, it's early. It's usually late spring is my time, so I have that to look forward to. And
I've got a lot of weeding to do. I need to clean up some of the little flower beds and give my tulips some breathing room. And I want to be outside. It feels so good.
It does feel so good. It's time to get,
well, we've got our guests cleaning out the chicken coop,
yeah,
and sharpening knives.
We've got children doing our bidding for us, so it's time to get some chickens this week, maybe.
If you or your family want to come and work
and pay us,
stay. We're happy to have you. Oh my gosh, we definitely, it's hysterical.
It is hysterical.
All right. Should we wrap it up? Take this baby home?
Yeah. Take us home, Ashley. Just throw out our information.
All right. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, our blog, our website, on YouTube and Vimeo at La Tavola Marche, LATAVOLMARCHE. And that's latavolamarche.com or latavolamarche.blogspot.com. And there you can also find all of our recipes. And I'll make sure to post Jason's pizza recipe. I can't believe I've never done it. I think people are thinking I held it hostage or something.
It's really simple.
Easy.
This recipe that she's going to post is from Fano. We were taught it by a gentleman whose father owned a pizzeria for many, many years from Fano or Pesaro?
He lived in Pesaro.
So it's Pesarese. And it used, like we said before, oil, beer, and milk.
It's good. It's with a really soft consistency. Mm-hmm. You guys will like it.
All right. Well, very good. Thank you so much for downloading and listening to our podcast.
Thanks, John from Seattle, for writing in.
And if anyone else has any questions, comments, or would like to rate us on iTunes, give us a 5-star rating and leave a comment.
Yeah.
Yeah. Should I not do that?
No, it's awesome. All right, we'll see you guys next time we hit record.